morning we're reading for Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, entitled Jay and Vijay, Cursed by the Sages. Text number 20. Yang bai vibhuti upayatyanu velamanyen. Artarti visvashuda shadritta pararenu. Tanyarpitangri tulasina vadamadamnon. Lokam madhu vratapateriva kamayanam. Yam. Whom? By. Certainly. Vibhuti. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Upayati. Waits upon. Anuvelam. Occasionally. Anye. By others. Artha. Material facility. Artibhi. By those who desire. Svashirasa. On their own heads. Dhrita. Accepting. Pada. At the feet of the feet. Renu. The dust. Dhanya. By the devotees. Arpita. Offered. Angri. At your feet. Tulasi. Of tulasi leaves. Nava. Fresh. Dhamma. On the garland. Dhamnaha. Having a place. Lokam. The place. Madhuvratapate. Of the king of the bees. Eva. Like. Kamayana. Is anxious to secure. Translation. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, the dust of whose feet is worn on the head by others, waits upon you as appointed, for she is anxious to secure a place in the abode of the king of bees, who hovers on the fresh wreath of tulsi leaves offered at your feet by some blessed devotee. Please repeat. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, the dust of whose feet is worn on the head by others, waits upon you as appointed, for she is anxious to secure a place in the abode of the king of bees, who hovers on the fresh wreath of tulsi leaves offered at your feet by some blessed devotee. Purport by Savanga Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. As previously described, tulasi has attained all superior qualities due to being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord. The comparison made here is very nice. As the king of bees hovers over the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, so Lakshmi, the goddess who is sought by the demigods, brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and everyone else, always engages in rendering service to the lotus feet of the Lord. The conclusion is that no one can be the benefactor of the Lord. Everyone is actually the servant of the servant of the Lord. End of purport. Omagyanantaranda Shyagana Salakaya Chakulmichamna Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutare Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nevishesha Shannavari Pasyat Satharine Jaya Rishi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, the dust of whose feet is worn on the head by others, waits upon you as appointed, for she is anxious to secure a place in the abode of the king of bees who hovers over the fresh wreath of tulsi leaves offered at your lotus feet by some blessed devotee. In this very rare chapters we're reading where the describing the Lord's pastime, where the Lord is directly dealing with his devotees, and we can see by this shloka here, the Kumaras speaking to the Lord after he spoke to them, and just see how poetic they're speaking. Now Lakshmi is just waiting for you. She's anxious to secure a place in the abode of the king of bees who hovers on the fresh tulsi garland offered to your feet by some blessed devotee. So nice, elegant words they are using. And the Lord himself uses so even more elegant, because the Lord is complete. This poetic, we heard the other, it was one of the qualities of a devotee. A devotee is poetic. And the Lord is also, he is complete in all of the qualities, so he is even more poetic. If we haven't been here for a while, but this is a very nice chapter. I like this one, the dealings here. We go back to the beginning, that the four Kumaras have cursed Jay and Vijay, and the Lord, that then the Lord has appeared and he said, these attendants of mine, they've offended you because of ignoring me. And the Lord is saying, to me the Brahman is the highest and most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me, because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense of myself. Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for the offense that has arisen. So here, the Lord has appeared and he's asking for forgiveness. So this must be very disconcerting for the Kumaras or anyone, because after all, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the Lord appears and displays his opulence, there's no doubt who he is. Everyone is, we're reading in Calcutta Temple, they're reading the sacrifice of Daksha, how the Lord appeared when Daksha offered into the oblations into the fire after the whole arena was destroyed by Lord Shiva and his followers. Then they resolved the issue. Then a Lord appeared. All the major demigods were there, from Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma down. So all the most exalted personalities in the universe, when the Lord appeared, it says all their luster diminished. And they just appeared. They were so gorgeous. on Garuda and... And obviously his associates appear there, and the chamras are going, and he's so beautiful. His face is so beautiful, so attractive. Everything about him, that's why he's given so many nice details. The way he moves, the way he glances, the way he talks. Everyone is completely captivated by that, and everyone is, when he displays his actual opulence of Godhead, then there's no doubt. Everyone understands their position. Very insignificant when the Lord is actually present before it. It's such a presence there. So here, there must be a great fearfulness for the Kumara. Although there's a great ecstasy there, simultaneously there's a great trepidation that, you know, that you're a fear of displeasing the Lord. In that, in Vaikuntha, there must be something like that there, because he is, after all, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is the maintainer, the creator, the all powerful being. So it's, so they can't. They're mentioned later that the Lord, the way he talks is very difficult to understand. The way how he speaks, what he actually wants, is very difficult to actually comprehend. So here the Lord is coming, that same person, the mood is there, then he's asking for forgiveness. The same person, you please forgive me. My servants are my expansions of myself. If my servants have offended you, I take it as I'm offending you. So how are you going to feel? You put yourself in the Kumara's shoes, if they were any, Karam. How are you going to feel that this is the Supreme Almighty Personality of Godhead, and you're, you know, really in your position as, you know, completely dependent upon him? And now he's asking forgiveness. Please forgive me. Very difficult to fathom the Lord's mind, what he's actually trying to present. Here it is, a similar incident in the house of Srivas Thakur, just down the road, when the Lord performing his Navadvip pastimes. They had these nocturnal kirtans every night, which was the equivalent to the Raslila in Vrindavan. And occasionally the Lord used to appear and take the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because we know he was acting as the devotee. So he would sit on the Sringashan, move the Shalagam off, and he would sit on the Sringashan, and it'd be creaking under him, and then he would display his potency, make it visible to everyone, his potency as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He'd actually show his form of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with red eyes and all, and everyone was like completely in trepidation. Oh, you know, what's going on? And they were so scared, and the fear is there, you see, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're always not sure if we're doing the right thing, so that there must be some fear there, unless we're pure unalloyed devotees, which is not many. Just like the mentioned, when a criminal sees a policeman, immediately he's fearful. Even just seen by seeing the policeman, it causes, oh, the law-abiding citizen, that, you know, who has no fear. He thinks that the policeman is my friend. He's protecting me. But the person who's not so straight, then immediately there's some trepidation there. So so the Lord, then he's sitting there and displaying his complete majesty. And everyone is standing there shaking with folded hands. You know, he's in our room. You know? He's in the room of the house, effulgent like the million suns. You can hardly see him, dazzling. And what is, you know, what's he going to do? What's he going to say? So then he presents himself like that. But after a while, then that mood changes, and he gets back into the mood of a devotee, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he gets up and he begins to dance with them all again, side by side. And not only that, then he's crying that, you know, where is that Krishna? Where is Krishna? I know the Vaishnava, Krishna is the property of the Vaishnavas. You're great Vaishnavas. You have Krishna. Only the Vaishnava can give Krishna. You are the devotees of Krishna. Please, please, I'm begging you, please. I have to have this. But he was saying it so sincerely from the heart that Mahaprabhu was crying. They was all crying. And he would fall at their feet and catch their feet and please, please. And then they were laughing also, because one minute he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead, the complete shelter, and now he's taking shelter of them. So they found it very amusing the way he used to act, these two contrasting moods. But they was both, you know, the extreme. So all these different mellows used to go on, and from the, you know, the highest ecstasy to the to the lowest despair when Mahaprabhu, somebody crashed down on the floor dancing and no life symptoms. And then everyone was practically dying, you know. And then he would get up and dance again and again. And so you can imagine in the morning when you left that place, how you're going to feel. That was only 500 years ago, so that happened. So that is the Supreme Personality of God. When he's there, when he's showing his opulence, then he's demanding all of your attention. Nothing else is going to distract you from that Supreme Personality of Godhead. All your senses are just focused, and you know your hairs are standing on end, and all the ecstatic symptoms will be there. But at the same time, that trepidation is there. That you know, what am I going to do now, face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So then the Lord, I'm just going to go through this. It's so nice what he's saying. Then the Lord says, anyone in the entire world, even down to the chandala, who lives by cooking and eating the flesh of a dog, is immediately purified if he takes bath in hearing through the ear the glorification of my name, fame, etc. Now you have realized me without a doubt. Therefore, I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if its conduct is found hostile to you. How sweet, you see? If my arm has offended you, because the servants, the limbs of my body, if that's offended, I'll cut it off. If you just say, I'll cut my arm off. And just see, this is the supreme, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaks. But he's establishing his position. You know, anyone, even a person who lives by eating dog flesh, simply by hearing and chanting about me, he becomes purified. That's all. That there's no sin that can stand in the presence of glorifying my name and my. So now he's establishing himself. Then the next one, he's saying why he has this potency. The Lord continues, because I am the servitor of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin, and I have acquired such a disposition that a goddess of fortune does not leave me. Even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure even a slight favor. So now he's saying how he's expressing his humility, that because I'm a servant of the devotees, therefore I'm so potent. Saying, in other words, I'm getting my potency from there. He's not bewildered. He's the Supreme Personality of God. He's established his position. But now, out of his humility, or just the way he is, his personality, this is why I'm so attractive and all powerful. Then he glorifies the devotees. I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrifices in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths. With the same relish, I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the brahmanas who have dedicated to me the result of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my prasadam. You see, feeding the devotees is better than feeding Vishnu. So here he's glorifying the position of the devotee. Then again he establishes his position, and I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy, and the water of the Ganges is the remnant left after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava on my head, who will refuse to do the same? The next one. The brahmanas, the cows, and the defenseless creatures are my own body. Those whose faculty of judgment has been impaired by their own sin look upon these as distinct from me. They are just like furious serpents, and they are angrily torn apart by the bills of the vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj, the superintendent of sinful persons. So now he's establishing his But these defenseless creatures like the Brahmins or cows who have to be protected, Prabhupada mentions in the purple, if they're not protected, then you will be subject to this, the messengers of Yamaraj. So he's establishing that again. So a very deep meaning for this is, now is he glorifying the Kumaras? These Brahmanas must be protected, if he's glorifying the Brahmanas and the cows, what to speak of his own personal servants, Jayan Vijay, which the Kumaras have just cursed. So very difficult to they're in a very position. What's he actually trying to say? Is he glorifying us? And you know, he's glorifying us, but what to speak of his own personal servants? We've just cursed them. What's he gonna do to us? what may he do to us? So very, the way he speaks is very, very deep. he's speaking, although they're very happy to hear him, the Lord goes on speaking so many nice things. As I say, the Lord's excellent speech, which was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and most profound significance, the sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it well, but although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Four Brahmanas. Then they spoke, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are unable to know what you intend for us to do. Even though you are the Supreme Ruler of all, you speak in our favor as if we had done something good for you. O Lord, you are the Supreme Director of the Brahminical culture. You're considering the Brahmins to be the highest position. It's your example for teaching others. Actually, you are the Supreme Worshipful Deity, not only for the gods, but for the Brahmanas also. So now they have a chance of they're glorifying him, that what you're saying, how the Brahmanas are worshipful, you worship the Brahmanas, and you're getting your potency from them, and all these things, it's not you're just saying that too. Setting an example, Krishna says, whatever the great man does, the common people will follow. And he says, if I did not act, all the world would be put into ruin, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So he's acting, he acts in a very exemplary way. He doesn't act like, I don't think we'd ever come to that level of intelligence if we could make a god, if we decided how a god should be. I don't think we could ever, no human being could ever get that far where he becomes submissive to his own devotee, or he acts in like a so-called contradictory way of the all-supreme powerful personality of Godhead. Because in the conditioned world, we're all looking for that power and position. We all want that Ishvara position, so we can control and enjoy this situation. Everyone is looking for that position, but this is far, far beyond this. This is already in that position. Now what we'd actually do? So we can never get in that position, so we'd never actually know. We can have a small field of enjoyment, a small field of control, and enjoy like that. And we can only just imagine if we could have a bigger field and a bigger field. But when you're actually God, when you've got all that, what would you do then? Then it's, you know, to achieve it, it is some hard work and some fun to try to get that position. But when you've actually got it, what would you do? Just like the Gyanis and the other transcendentalists who are seeking liberation, they don't actually think what to do when you're liberated. What will I do when I'm liberated? They don't actually think that far. They just think liberation is the ultimate thing. But there's also something that happens when you're liberated, then what do you do? At least while you're in the body. But of course, if you're impersonal, then they think there's nothing to do. But of course, we know for the liberated souls, then real Real life actually starts. Real activity actually starts. Real consciousness begins. Now it's all tainted. Our consciousness contaminated. Which we feel we're trying to achieve something that we're actually not. This is called Maya. So that's our short-term goals. So it's so mind-expanding to hear how the Lord and the Lord's devotees actually deal, the pure devotees, what consciousness they're actually in. So so then they're saying, no, you're not like that. So to today's sloka, they're saying, no, even Lakshmi here is... She's waiting for you to serve you. And Lakshmi is worshipped by everyone. Huh? So the demigods, brahmanas, Vaishnavas, everyone wants Lakshmi's grace, right? Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune. Everyone wants a good fortune. Because the material world is actually a place of misery. It's a place of difficulty. So everyone is looking for good fortune. Everyone is trying to please Lakshmi, get the favor of Lakshmi, then all our obstacles will be removed. Right? And we can be peaceful. We can peacefully try to control and enjoy. So that is the idea. But Lakshmi is waiting to serve him. This is what they're saying. Like this very person that everyone worships, she's waiting to serve you. And then they're saying in a very poetic way, just like she's waiting for the position with the king of the bees, who's hovering around your lotus feet. Hovering around the torso on your lotus feet. And you're not really interested. Not so much interested. He's already explained. He's not even really attached to Lakshmi, although she is ready to serve him hand and foot. Everyone, every living entity, every civilized living entity is after the mercy of Lakshmi. She's waiting to serve Krishna hand and foot, waiting to serve Vishnu. And he's indifferent. He's, after all, he's Atmarama. So it's not. So they're saying no. What you're saying is not actually a fact. You can be favored by others. It's not possible that you can be favored by others or you can benefit from anyone else. You're the supreme actual benefactor. But is it by acting like this, then it brings out all of the different qualities of the Lord? Then, but this is not just for the sake of the Srimad Bhagavatam that he's speaking like this. This is his actual personality. This is like this all the time. That he's very anxious to serve his devotees, to bring pleasure to his devotees. That's what goes on in the kingdom of God. All the devotees are with great love trying to perform activities, endeavor to please the Lord. And he's also participating, so he's accepting their endeavor, and he's also reciprocating and give them more opportunity. And to give them more opportunity, he takes that opportunity to serve them and arrange different situations. So this is actually pure love, which goes on in the outside of the condition of the three modes of nature. So it's so refreshing to hear these rare descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, when he directly speaks, where he directly appears, where he directly performs his pastimes and his dealings with his devotees are so sweet. The most attractive feature of Krishna is the Bhakta Vatsala. It says the most wonderful quality of the Lord is that he comes subservient to the love of his devotees. That's the most remarkable thing. Because the idea of in the material consciousness, everyone wants to be on top. But he's on top. He has no competition until he wants to be on the, and he's trying to get on the bottom to serve the servants. So this is the as the Prabhupada said, the conclusion is no one can be the benefactor of the Lord Everyone is actually the servant of the servant of the Lord. But what do you do when the Lord says, no, this is how I'm getting my potency. This is why the Ganges water is so powerful. Why is it? Because of the because I eat. Because of the Brahmins are my extension of myself. I'm eating through them. I'm being nourished by them, by the devotees, by the fire and by the devotees. But the Brahmins, the devotees, I realize that more than what goes into the fire, because that's done very ritualistically. But the other one is very much more personal. So it's a wonderful way the Supreme Lord acts for our benefit, that we can follow in the footsteps of these great devotees and learn their behavior and try to enact their mentality in this lifetime. This is what we want, to purify our consciousness. These devotees are the examples. So we should always be ready to glorify the devotees and understand that we're actually the servant of the servants of them. Because when the Lord is actually there, you know, you actually feel your position is very, very small if the Lord actually appeared before us. When he's not there, then you begin to, you know, have positions. You have higher and you start to see things higher and lower, and your space. And but when the Lord is there, that's all gone. You're nobody again. You're 1/10,000th apart of the here when the Lord is actually there. But when he's gone, then you start to spread out and be somebody and have some. So it's always nice to hear these descriptions of Lord, to remind us of our position, but most of all to remind us what a wonderful person he is. That is why he is the supreme personality of Godhead, and this is his Vaikuntha feature. And then when his other features are even more intimate, even more personal in Ayodhya Dwarka and in Vrindavan especially. It's even takes on another level, which is incomprehensible for us now. So if we hear the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees daily, then gradually all of those misgivings will go. We'll gradually understand what a wonderful personality Krishna is, how special the devotees are, and how fortunate we are to have this opportunity to actually serve the devotees, see the form of Krishna, hear about his wonderful pastimes by the mercy of the devotees. Jai Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai, Sarvopada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Probably. He's making a comment how the potency of the devotees, that even very fallen people like Eskimos in Iceland where they live, there's no vegetation there, so they just live on a purely non-veg diet. So Sometimes they don't even cook it before they. But it's a hellish condition to live in ice, you know, and it's not a very nice. But even that, even then, we have found that devotees go up there or near there, and by the association of devotees, they can become purified. So Krishna's right, whatever he says, but Krishna's glorifying the devotees. But what do the devotees do when we approach a devotee and say, "Oh, you're so wonderful! You're the window to the spiritual world. You're carrying the mercy of Krishna. I know Krishna's creepers follows his devotee, and only by you." No. You chant Krishna's name. You hear about Krishna. You associate with Krishna's real devotees. So the devotee in turn will put you back to Krishna, right? From the very beginning, from the Shraddha comes Sadhu Sangha. You associate with the Sadhus. And what are the Sadhus do? Bhajana Kriya. You engage in hearing, chanting, remembering, serving Krishna. So there's this mutual competition between the Lord and his devotees. They're both. You go to the Lord, he'll refer you to his devotees, glorify his devotees. You go to the devotees, and they refer you to the Lord and glorify the Lord. And the real devotees. So this is the way of devotional service, and that is the way of the inhabitants of the spiritual world. They also like that, even though they're perfect. It's mentioned in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita when Gopa Kumar goes to Vaikuntha, everyone has the same form as the Lord. When he goes, he thinks there's Narayan coming because he looks exactly like Narayan. He just don't have the Kastuba jewel and the Shivatsma. Then he pays his obeisances and, "Oh, my dear Lord, and Vishnu, 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 what are you doing? No. And then they very lovingly and smile, laugh and smilingly, and you know, no, give him comfort him and say, "No, yeah. Actually, you must be a new person here, right?" So, here, I'm not him, I'm not. So then they'll always begin to glorify the Lord. So that is the actual behavior in the spiritual world. Nobody wants to be glorified. But the etiquette is that you do glorify. Our etiquette here is that we do glorify the devotees. But for ourselves, we shouldn't be accepting any. Pray, always thinking ourselves lower than the straw in the street, never ready to respect everyone else and not to accept any respect for ourselves. This is the mentality of the devotees here. But although we do it for ourselves, we never think like that of another devotee. We like to pile their glorification because they are glorious. They're all glorious except me, right? This is how. No one can be as bad as me, right? I know what my heart is like. I don't know what your heart is like, but whatever it is, it can't be as bad as mine. So therefore, everyone is worthy of worship. This is the position of a devotee, but it must be done with, you know, actual. You must actually feel like that. And as one becomes purified, that feeling, we act like it anyway, we practice acting like that humbly, even though we're not. But Prabhupada said, you practice anyway, you pay your obeisances, and in due course of time it will come natural. But we act like that, but as by following this process, then as realization comes, purification comes, purification means you actually understand who you are. 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair, smaller than an atom. So naturally, that humility, it will be there. You actually realize you're actually insignificant. it's only by mercy that you've actually come to this position, that you've got a chance, and that mercy is carried by the devotees. The Lord doesn't directly appear to us. Here, they're fortunate; the Lord directly appears, but it's very rare. So it is the Lord's mercy is carried by the devotees. Therefore, they're more worshipable than Vishnu. Because without devotees, there's no access to Vishnu. So it's that prasada, Bhagavad prasada. So therefore, the devotees are as worshipable as the Lord. And he himself says that. Who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. He's a devotee of my devotee. He's my actual devotee. This is how the Lord likes it. that you worship through his devotee. It's not that we use the devotees like the Mayavadi and then step on, kick them away and there we got God. It's not. This is a material consideration. It's always there. Even in the spiritual world, the hierarchy is there. There's our Prabhus in the spiritual world. There's people who we serve. We don't stand next to Krishna. He's already got those people. He's already got his mother, father, friends, his personal servants, his weapons, his close, his relatives. They're already there. So we're servants of their servants of their servants of their servants of their servants. Somewhere we're connected. But in any case, it's all perfect. Huh? Or was it like a sweet bowl, Krishna consciousness? Wherever you buy it, it's all sweet. So there is no competition there. But this is the wonderful activities of the spiritual world, and that's why we try to act in the same way. That's why we call everyone Prabhu, and we have the name title Das. But we should actually act like that, with feeling, and then gradually it will come that this is what we actually are: servant of the servant of the servants. Govar ki jai. Here's something to help your spiritual journey.